It's Thursday, and that means it's time for our weekly conversation with Daniel House, business columnist at the Detroit News. This week, you focused on the business community, businesses like General Motors stepping up to help Detroit. You talked about the new GM Student Corps that'll be helping students from seven Metro Detroit high schools. And you write that the pilot program isn't necessarily front page news, but represents a bigger idea going on in Detroit right now. Just what do you mean?
Well, I think you look at how a lot of companies are getting increasingly involved in Detroit, and they're essentially filling a void that government has failed to fill. One of them is, for example, the schools. This Student Corps is an outgrowth of the Network of Excellence that General Motors Foundation funded 2 years ago with $27.1 million, its largest grant ever, with the United Way for Southeastern Michigan. And they were working on getting smaller classes in these high schools. And these are not just Detroit high schools, by the way. These are in five communities in Southeast Michigan. And so then they took it the next step and they said, okay, how can we help these kids in the summertime? And one of the ways they decided to do it was to create this, what they're calling a student corps, where they're drawing kids from these high schools. And General Motors retirees are basically quarterbacking this program with the support of the company to help these kids develop service projects. And I think it's just a way for the companies to impact the lives of young people, maybe in ways that they otherwise wouldn't get. And I think this is a real positive that other companies are doing because they're in a position, they see the need, but financially they're also in a position where they can help. Their foundations and their funds and whatever they call them are now disbursing monies that they weren't doing a few years ago, and they're really leaning forward and trying to help.
Now, you quoted Mayor Dave Bing in your piece, Daniel, saying, "I don't think there's a city in the country where foundations and the business community have stepped up like ours have." Think that's a fair statement?
I do. I mean, it's hard to generalize that nationwide, but I think there's probably not another city in the country that's as major city that's as stressed as Detroit is. And the irony of that comment from the mayor is a couple of years ago, he created a real firestorm up on Mackinac Island at the Mackinac Policy Conference when he complained on another radio station about the fact that the business community wouldn't help. And I, based on that, wrote a column talking to people who'd been in the room with the mayor the previous week, spent an hour and a half of their time, and he never asked them for any kind of help. And when you get CEOs in a room, they expect to be asked of something, and they weren't asked. But the point was is that he's come a long way now, I think, in his views of the business community and how, and the role they're playing. But the mayor also, now that he's not running for re-election, I think he's also kind of morphing into what I would describe as the fundraiser-in-chief for the city of Detroit. He's in the middle of a $60 million fundraising campaign. They're $24 million into it. And while listeners may think that's a little bizarre, essentially what he's trying to do is look for corporate support for key things that the city needs to get through this very difficult time. And we saw about a month ago this $8 million gift from the autos and a few others for 100 police cruisers and 23 EMS units. That's one example.
And I wondered if you think now that there's an emergency manager, has this actually made businesses and foundations a little more willing to step up? Perhaps they didn't trust previous administrations, but they feel safe now to give or lend?
I would say there's not a perhaps as part of it, Cynthia. I think that's absolutely true. Now, if you talk to the business people, both privately and on the record, I think they say the same thing, and that is that the emergency manager is a good thing. These are business people at the end of the day, some of whom have gone through some very notorious and prominent bankruptcies, and they understand that when the financial question gets called, like it has been in Detroit, things start to get fixed. That said, I don't think anybody involved in the process, probably up to and including Kevin Orr and Governor Rick Snyder, knows how this process is going to end. But what I think they do know is that what comes out on the other side is somehow going to be somewhat or markedly different than what happened when going into this process. They're going to work through the operations of the city. There are going to be certain departments that are going to be essentially outsourced or privatized or sent out to quasi-public agencies. And I think the debt load and the financial burden of the city is going to be different. Now, is it going to be fixed, quote unquote? I kind of doubt that. I don't think it's going to be as clean maybe as you saw in the case of the auto bailouts. But I would guess, and I think this is what a lot of people are betting on, that there's going to be substantial progress made and that that progress will be positive both from an investment standpoint and to some extent from a population standpoint. We just had confirmed this week that Detroit, again, is losing population. And I think if people need any evidence that what's happened in the city has continued this exodus, I think this is just another piece of evidence.
Let's jump on something that was in your piece, and it's the view from the cynics corner. And mm-hmm. you write that cynics, and there are many, ascribe the rush of philanthropic fervor to nothing more than astute capitalists moving to protect their investments. So you kind of wonder, why would all of these disparate business interests, from corporate players like GM and DTE Energy to the big entrepreneurial names like Gilbert and Illich and Penske, why would they be spending so much money otherwise? What do you say to that cynical view?
Well, I understand why people say that, but I think it's a very caricatured view of how business people operate. The truth of the matter is that Detroit and where it is today wouldn't be where it is today financially, and you've seen what you're seeing happen downtown, but for the dreaded one percenters. These are guys who have the ability to invest anywhere in the world, frankly. And some of them are worth literally billions, multiple billions of dollars in terms of their net worth, and they're doing things in Detroit. Now, why is that? I think they're trying to make a difference. I think in the case of Dan Gilbert, he's you know, bought somewhere between seventeen and 20 some buildings in downtown Detroit. Is he trying to protect his investment? Of course he is. But he's also trying to make a difference. I mean, he said when he started this process that he was either going to go big or he wasn't going to go at all.
Yeah.
And he certainly has proven that he's willing to go big. My point is, I don't think these two things are mutually exclusive. I think you can be out to try and improve your community and also protect your investment. And in fact, it is kind of this virtuous circle that the more you invest in new buildings and you create energy and you help, for example, public safety, the police, with EMS units and new cruisers and everything, that benefits you, but it also benefits the community. It makes your community more attractive to would-be employees or would-be residents. So I think the cynics, a lot of whom I think sometimes you want to say to them, when's the last time you came downtown Detroit? When's the last time you came and saw what's really going on? And when you challenge many of them, not all of them, when you challenge many of them, you find that they really can't rise to that challenge. They sit back and they say, well, I haven't been there for X numbers of years because this happened in, you know, 2002. Well, okay, I get that. And there's always things that happen in any major city. There's no question. And Detroit has a very bad crime problem. And we've seen that. The statistics bear it out. We know that to be the case. It doesn't happen to be in the downtown core per se, but it is an issue. But the other thing about the cynics, I think I would say, is a lot of people expect this whole downtown or city renaissance to be a destination, that on some date on the calendar, you're going to say, Detroit is back. And I happen to look at it very differently, and I think so do a lot of the other people doing it. It's not a destination. It's a process. And it's something that takes time, and you make steps forward, a couple of steps back, a few steps forward. And I think we're at a period right now in 2013 where we're on the verge of taking several steps forward with the emergency manager. We're going to get a new mayor. We're going to get a new council elected on districts for the first time since 1918. A lot of different things are about to happen here in 2013 to set the table for the out years, and we'll see where things go.
Now, speaking of something different happening in 2013, we found out this week that summer shutdown for the automakers is going to have a real new look for 2013. What's going on?
There won't be a summer shutdown.
That's right.
You know, I first started covering General Motors as a beat reporter in 1996, and they've been having a summer shutdowns of some kind or another, and they had them before then. And they lengthened them certainly during the recession and the auto implosion. What's happening is people are buying their cars. People want their cars, and Detroit manufacturers actually are seeing rising market share, and they're outpacing the foreigns in terms of market share growth. This is nothing but a good news story. And I saw a union official quoted in a news report, I think it was today, saying, listen, this is not complaining. We are not complaining. This is good news. If our people have to work for the first 2 weeks of July, that's great. We thought our plant was going to, a couple years ago, was going to be shut down permanently. This is a good problem to have, and this is a way that they are trying to maintain inventories, and there's demand for their products. The product cadence, if you will, that's an industry term, is quickening at GM, Ford, and Chrysler, particularly at General Motors right now. They're coming from a little bit behind the oldest fleet in the U.S. market. They're going to be the youngest fleet within about a year or so. They're just really pumping out an awful lot of products, which is why they've essentially said, we're not having a summer shutdown. We're just going to keep working. I think this is a very good thing, and it's also probably good for the local economy. It's good all the way around.
I think that's a good way to leave it. Let's bask in that happy news for this week. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes, who joins us every Thursday. Always a pleasure talking with you, Daniel. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.